Rasputin.
As the countdown continues to the 50th anniversary of the Battle of the Coral Sea, we take a look at the events of the day when our nation was at war.
Men and women of the United States, I speak to you from Australia.
Saturday, March the 14th, 1942. Our Prime Minister, Mr. Curtin, has made a broadcast to the American people in which he swore not to yield a yard of our soil.
From the skies of the Pacific, the tide of war flows madly. For you in America, for us in Australia, it is flowing badly. For all that America has done both before and since entering the war, we have the greatest admiration and gratitude. It is to the people of America that I am now speaking. To you who are willing to be fighting. To you who are sweating in factories and workshops to turn out the vital ammunitions of war. We propose sending to you our Minister for External Affairs, Dr. Evatt, who is no stranger to your country, so that we may benefit from his discussions with your authorities. Dr. Evatt's wife, who will accompany him, was born in the United States. He will go to tell you that we are fighting mad. Be assured of the calibre of our national character. This war may see the end of much that we have painfully and slowly built in our 150 years of existence. But even if all of it goes, there will still be Australians fighting on Australian soil until the turning point be reached.
Japanese aircraft have attacked the Torres Strait. Our Townsville correspondent was there.
20 Japanese planes have swooped over Horn Island on the northern tip of Queensland's mainland. The force was 8 Nell bombers and 9 Zeros. In a fierce air battle, they were intercepted by the 7th Fighter Squadron of the American 49th Group. Japanese bombs landed on the Horn Island airstrip and the outskirts of Thursday Island, destroying one RAAF Hudson on the ground and damaging another. One Kitty Hawk was shot down and one damaged, but the US Air Force bagged 2 Zeros. No civilian casualties have been reported.
With Rangoon occupied by the enemy, British and Imperial forces have been consolidating their new front in central Burma, where they will make a stand to defend the oil fields, the only supply of crude oil left to our Chinese allies. Our correspondent in London reports.
The main Japanese forces are still to the south of the Prome Road, but they've captured the whole of the Irrawaddy Delta. Their patrols are already creeping forward along the Prome and Mandalay Roads to test Allied strength. An engagement along these two highways is inevitable, as the hilly jungle between these routes is impenetrable to our tanks and transports. But Japanese methods of infiltration along bullock cart tracks, which are centuries old, would be perfectly suited to this terrain. Reports from Mandalay reveal a brave attempt by Indian and Burman troops to mount a surprise counterattack on a small Japanese-occupied town 3 miles to the east of the Sitang River. They crossed the river on rafts, but were given up by scouts who beat drums to warn the Japanese of their approach. They took on a force of 500 Japanese, supported by traitor Burmans, with fierce hand-to-hand fighting in which the Indians wielded bayonets and kukri.
A boy from Alabama meets a girl.